Not another sermon on the Great Commission. This is our third week. I already know it. We've spent 2 weeks on it. What else is there to it? We just need to get on and do it. It can be tempting to think this way, can't it? But I put it to you that if we don't listen to these final words of Jesus today, it would likely lead us to live lives as disciples that are overwhelmed, that are daunted, or desperate, or discouraged and burnt out, or for some, leave you apathetic and just inactive in the Great Commission. And we would miss out on these precious final words of Jesus that are so mission-shaping, so important, so comforting, so enabling, and so compelling to go. Today, let's listen carefully to Jesus' final words. We've been hearing Jesus' final parting message to his disciples over these last 2 weeks, and what have we heard from Jesus? We've heard, firstly, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And then secondly, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so what have we heard? We've heard, in other words, the resurrected reality that Jesus is Lord over everything. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then we've heard the command, go make disciples of Jesus. And we've heard this command that has scope, you know, to what extent? All nations, to the ends of the earth. And this command that has shape by Jesus, given shape. What does it look like? Well, it looks like, to all nations, making new disciples. And that's evident in the baptizing, that Christ's death would be their death by faith, that Christ's new life is their new life. And today, we're going to hear more of the shape, more of the how. Because we confidently persevere in disciple-making of all nations. Firstly, by proclaiming the word. And we can see that in our passage is actually Matthew 28, verse 20. We can see that in those first words of this last statement of Jesus, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So it's by proclaiming the word. What is the word? The words are not just any words we see. These are Jesus' words. And teaching Jesus' words, do notice, it's central to disciple making. It's actually not just about making new disciples of Jesus. It's not just stacking up the conversion numbers. You know, discipling doesn't stop at conversion. No, we see in this statement that Jesus clearly and dearly cares about maturity. The need for teaching his words so that disciples would learn to obey him as king in all of their life. It's not just a rescue from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus, becoming a Christian. But no, it's the ongoing conforming to become more and more like Jesus, learning to obey all that he has commanded. This is the way of life. This is the trajectory for every Christian, do you know? And do we see that it's by the renewing of our mind? It's being taught. It's learning Jesus' words. That's the central part that Jesus' words play in his agenda for disciple-making all nations. It is the how. Christ's words going forth to all nations, him proclaimed to all nations, for that initial faith and repentance, becoming a Christian, and for every Christian to be more and more like Jesus. Both are disciple-making. Now, up to this point in the Great Commission, we could sum up what Jesus said in other words. Jesus has said, I am the King of everything, everyone, everywhere. And so you go do this. Go make disciples for me from everywhere, the whole world, teaching them to obey me, everything, and teaching everything that I have told you. And so off you go. Just imagine if that was the cutoff, if that was all that Jesus said. If that was all he said, if that was it, how would you feel? And how would his disciples there have felt if that was all Jesus said? Well, like me, you may feel daunted, overwhelmed. We've heard that reality, the command, its scope and its shape, but we're really left wondering, how is it possible? Just imagine the disciples. You know, we've just bailed on you at the cross, Jesus, before all the Jewish leaders and Roman authorities. You're saying, go to the world? We're so unimpressive. We're so weak. Heck, our memories, we can't even remember all that you've taught us, Jesus. How's it even possible? And so what would be the consequence if this was it? If we did miss Jesus' final words, and that was all that we heard, if this really was the cutoff? Well, I think we would swing to some extremes in how we respond. Indeed, we may see this in the ministry of others. We might be overwhelmed to the point of inaction. It's too much. It's too scary. We could lead to despair, actually, and get rather desperate and look for other ways to make disciples away from the shape that Jesus gives. You know, it feels like it's all up to us after all. Maybe some of those strategies, instead of proclaiming all of Jesus' words to all nations, maybe we would just overwork and grind people into the ground. Let's get the numbers and just go and go and go and go. Maybe we might manipulate with a bit of relational pressure, misuse our power. Maybe we could use political power and take over Australia, make it a Christian nation. Maybe use a bit of force. Maybe we would change Jesus' words in our desperation and despair. Maybe we need to hide some of the words like judgment and hell and obedience, and that Jesus is actually Lord over everything. Or we could even, you know, go to nations closer in culture than us and ignore the rest. They seem more likely. Let's get some success vibes by going to nations that seem a bit more, or maybe nations that are a bit weaker and we can overpower them. Friends, the question is, why should Jesus' disciples, why should we not be daunted or overwhelmed by Jesus' command? Well, let's not miss Jesus' final words. They're so important. They're so comforting. And friends, they're so compelling to go. And do you notice that Jesus draws close attention to them? On the screen, he starts by saying, "And behold." You know, look here, take note. Don't miss these final words of mine. Because these last words are why disciples confidently persevere in disciple-making all the nations. And what is the basis of this confident perseverance? Well, it's Jesus' relationship to his command, to the agenda. The big question that our passage answers is, what is Jesus' role in disciple-making of all nations? That is the big question answered in these final words. What is his role? We see in our passage, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Why should we not be daunted, but confidently persevere in disciple-making all nations? Well, secondly, by proclaiming the word, it's because we're never alone. We're never alone in disciple-making. Jesus is involved in every part. "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Do you see that Jesus is not like so many of our earthly leaders and bosses and teachers who may set the agenda and the task to be done, but then they're never present. And they're only sometimes present in the task, if at all. You know, you can think of the soldiers in wars gone by, as we remembered Anzac Day, even present conflicts. The soldiers were on the front lines. The decision makers, way back, far removed. closer to home, I can remember a time when Courtney, my wife, she was sent to a meeting. And this meeting was with the Bunnings National Head of Security. Court worked for the security company that installed the camera systems for Bunnings. Facial recognition, number plate, oh, the whole works. And this Bunnings is a $1 million client. Highly competitive to get the work. And the head of Bunnings Security, the meeting was to check the quality of the installations. You know, checking if they're up to standard. If the security company should really keep getting those big contracts. Very important meeting, very important task. And 22-year-old Courtney was sent to that daunting task. Pretty nervous. And her boss was nowhere to be seen. He took a sick day. Do you see that Jesus is not like that? He doesn't set the task and then is far removed. Now, if Jesus was like that, we would really have reason for despair and pushback. We would likely respond as Jeremiah did to God in one of those passages read out earlier. Did you notice that God gave Jeremiah a big task of being the prophet, being the messenger, the ambassador for God to the nations? And this included pronouncing a hard word of judgment from God to Jeremiah's own people, God's own people. And what was Jeremiah's response to this task given to him? It might be one like ours. You see it on the screen. This is Jeremiah. Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth. In other words, I can't do this. I'm so young and unimpressive with words. Well, how does God respond? Verse 7, but the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And God goes on, he charges the prophet to verse 17, say to them everything that I command to you, you say to everyone. Even though, verse 19, they're going to fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord. And we see Jeremiah, he goes and he proclaims all of God's words. What's the foundation of his confident persevering in that task, that activity to the nations? The foundation is knowing the one who is with him. God with him. God with him, that assures and it compels Jeremiah to go. I wonder if you hear the echoes of this in Jesus' final words that we're looking at this morning. It's no mistake that they're the same as God's. After all, early in Matthew's account, Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. But what do we hear in Jesus' final words in our passage today? And behold, I am with you always. Not sometimes. Friends, there's not a time in this age where Jesus is not present in disciple-making the nations. Did you hear that? There's not a time in this age where Jesus is not present in disciple-making the nations. He is always engaged. Always present. And we can remember that that's actually a really big deal. The risen Jesus, what is he standing? Who is with us? All authority on earth, in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That is who is with us in this task of disciple-making the nations. So look at who you are partnering with in his agenda. Look at who you are doing the disciple making with. What a privilege. We really do have to ask the question though, how can Jesus be present? Shortly after, we see him ascend to heaven. He's not physically around. He's not physically around here right now, is he? We're going to take a brief excursion. Our passage doesn't really speak on the how, but we have all the scripture available to us. And so let's turn to the other passage, John 16, that we read earlier, to grasp the workings of what Jesus is saying here. See how this really is a reality. What does Jesus mean? But really, you should read this book, The Coming of the Holy Spirit by Philip Jensen, for a more in-depth look. But let's take a brief look now. Turning to John 16, Jesus is speaking at his final meal with his disciples. This is just before going to the cross, dying on the cross, raising again. And Jesus, his presence with the disciples is on the agenda. And we see that in verse 4. Jesus says in verse 4, I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. And so what does Jesus do about it? Verse 7, he sends the helper. He's also called, verse 13, the Spirit of Truth. And what does he do? Verse 7, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he the Spirit, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So Jesus sends the Spirit, his Spirit, to continue his work in the world. And what's the Spirit going to do for these apostles? Verse 13, whatever the Spirit hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, the Spirit proclaims Jesus to the world, and the Spirit passes on all the words that Jesus says to his disciples so that they would remember them and so they would teach them to make disciples, to proclaim to the world, to make disciples of all nations. The Spirit is the how, do you see? This is how it's possible. Disciple making of all nations, it's more than possible. It's not an impossible task because Jesus is at work by his Spirit in every part. And when we have the Spirit of Christ and the words given to the apostles, Jesus' own words, Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, is with us. And those words that are proclaimed by his disciples into a world, do you notice, where the Spirit is at work in those that hear it? At work in the proclaiming and at work in the hearing. It's just a snapshot of what there is to learn. But for now, grasp that Jesus is always with us in every part of disciple making. And that is because he sends his Spirit to his disciples. What difference does this make to the disciples? Well, it doesn't remain theory. This is not just a nice abstract idea. As we keep reading his words, we get to watch the difference it makes to the early church. It's really exciting. All right, let's first watch what happened to Peter. Just over a month prior, Peter couldn't confess Jesus to some lowly servant girls. But now we're going to hear him in Acts chapter 4 with the Spirit of Jesus with him. What difference does it make? Here's some context. After being put in custody, Peter is fronting up to a whole crowd. It's a daunting crowd. There's the rulers, the elders, the scribes, and the whole high priest family. This is more than just a few servant girls. And what does he declare? You know, we're asking the question, does he cower again? Is he going to just deny Jesus? No. He proclaims plainly to their face that the one who they crucified, the one who they rejected, is the now resurrected Christ. If we go to the next slide, the next one. What does he declare? There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. These are the words of Peter. And how does the crowd react? Well, we can keep reading. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. What can we say, having heard Jesus' final words? They hadn't just been with Jesus. Jesus was still with them by his Spirit in every part of that disciple-making. You know, we get to witness the formerly daunted, cowardly Peter be transformed and empowered by Jesus in and with him, confidently persevering in that disciple-making. Let's finally watch disciples who are not apostles. That is, they are those who had not physically been with Jesus all his earthly ministry, and they weren't chosen for that office by Jesus. And actually, these disciples, they're just like us. These disciples, they've received the words of Christ that were first given to the apostles by the Spirit, and the apostles have passed them on and taught them to others, and then it continues to go and spread out over the nations. They're like us. In Acts 11, what do we notice those disciples doing? Next slide. Next slide. There's disciples in far-off lands, away from Jerusalem. What are they doing? They are preaching the Lord Jesus. They're proclaiming the word. And what do we read? The hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Isn't that exciting? The Spirit of Jesus, we get to watch, convicting the hearts and proclaiming the message in partnership with the disciples of Jesus. And we read on, we hear of the church doing more of the disciple-making, not just conversion, but that maturing to become more and more like Christ, building up the church. I hope you see the picture of what Jesus being involved in every part of disciple-making to the nations, what it looks like, and see the impact it has on the Great Commission. It makes it possible, but more than possible, it makes it sure. The Great Commission will be achieved because the Lord of all the heavens and earth, he is always intimately involved. He's with his people in every part of that disciple making. And so let these final words of Jesus lead us to really take heart. Let it leave us warm and not cold to this Great Commission. And let it compel us to go make disciples with Jesus. Never alone, with Jesus. Now I wonder, is there particular times when disciple making feels so daunting and impossible? Can you think of a time when it's felt so daunting and impossible? Perhaps it's in that evangelism, that seeking to proclaim Jesus, that people would become Christian. And you're proclaiming the word of Christ, you're urging them to respond. Maybe it's in evangelizing your family, it feels daunting and impossible, like me with my siblings. They seem so unlikely to be made a disciple of Christ. Maybe it's so daunting and impossible with strangers at the playground or in the workplace. Maybe someone with a language barrier or a different culture to yours. Maybe it's really daunting and impossible when you're telling your parents or your grandparents that you're a Christian and what that means for some highly held cultural practice that you can no longer do, like ancestor worship. But maybe you're thinking of disciple making where daunting and impossible, where it's building up the church, like you're seeking to care for Christians, help them become mature in Jesus. Maybe it's in confronting sin of another Christian. Maybe it's when you're seeking to teach the word and it's just really uncomfortable. Or you're caring for people who are a lot different to you, you're not normally comfortable with. Friends, with that daunting and unsure, impossible scenario in mind, maybe in those moments we can breathe and say, I'm not alone in this, because Jesus the Lord is with me and is active in every part of disciple making. Maybe in that moment is a time to talk to him, ask for help because he's there with you, and to go confidently persevering in that disciple making with Jesus. Just like the early church, we really need to help one another remember this, that Jesus is with us in every part of the commission. Some ways we could do this is we could speak often of Jesus being with us in disciple making. Name drop Jesus when you're speaking of your efforts to make disciples. Speak of what he's doing with and through you and what we're doing with him. I think that can really help us hold together, keep remembering, you know, Jesus' active authority over all and our responsibility that he gives us in the Great Commission together, and praising him for any fruit that comes because of it. As we see that Jesus is involved in every part, so he's worthy of all our thanks. Now, I don't think it would take you long to think of a time. Can you think of a task or a thing that just seemed to go on forever? you know, with no end in sight. Just goes on and on and on. I know when I was working as a teacher in my short teaching career, it felt like, even in those 2 years, it felt like that. There was always another group of year eights becoming boundary testing annoying year nines, year after year. A task that just goes on and on forever. Well, do you see that this command from Jesus to be disciple makers of all the nations, it is not like that. It doesn't go on and on forever because we know that there is an end. Friends, we confidently persevere in disciple making of all nations, finally, because now is the only season for it. Now. As Jesus shows the extent that he'll be with us, with his disciples in disciple making, you know, to the end of the age, he also brings attention in these final important words to that end of the age. What will happen then? We see that Jesus' final words, "I'm with you always to the end of the age." And he's taught on this a bit, recorded by Matthew, and so we're going to bring these things to mind as we look at his final words. What has he taught about the end of the age? Well, he's taught that it will come, this end of the age, it's going to come when the disciple making is done. Can you just go back a slide? What does he say in Matthew 24? The gospel of the kingdom, it will be proclaimed. Hear that? Like, it will be done throughout the whole world, and then the end will come. So the end of the age comes when the disciple making is done. Secondly, it's the end of the age when Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, that is the final time of judgment. That is the time of final judgment. That's a time when Jesus will judge everyone, everything. What will he find? He'll find that the righteous, the saved, those that trust and believe, they're going to be with Jesus in his glory. This final judgment, he'll find those who are found to be righteous because they've trusted in what Jesus has done. They've lived for him. And then finally, he will find those, next slide, that aren't saved, the unrighteous, in this final judgment at the end of the age, and they're going to be damned to darkness and death forever. Let's call it hell. What effect does remembering the end have? What's the effect of remembering the end of the age have on the Great Commission? Well, it really is a call from Jesus to everyone to orientate your whole lives, whatever your lot, to the reality that Jesus is Lord and he's going to return to judge. And so now is the time. It's the one season. There's no off season. It's not like the sport. This is the only season to be saved by turning to him and trusting in Jesus and helping others do the same. And so become a disciple of Christ and go and make disciples of all nations. That is the Lord of heaven and earth's agenda in this world. And so it should be the first consideration, the major consideration, when we think of how we are to live these short lives. Everything is orientated around the Lord of heaven and earth's agenda. And this is an agenda that it can't be thwarted. It can't be stopped. It will be successful. There is an end of the age. There's an appointed end. And so for some here, this really should, mentioning this end of the age, it really should wake you up from your apathy. Your lack of interest and concern in Jesus' agenda in the world, as if it's a nice thing to the side, this Great Commission, or it's something for church staff to be paid to do. No, it's a matter of life and death. Hell is real, the end of the age is real. So be with Jesus and be found to be a faithful servant on that final day, having committed your whole life to his command from this point onwards. For some in the room, you might be discouraged and weary in your disciple-making activity. Perhaps, you know, you might have seen the overall stats of unreached people groups and, like, it's so far off, isn't it? Or maybe you've had a recent setback when you just try and disciple another. If you're discouraged or weary, take heart, from Jesus' presence. It's wonderful. And be assured that despite your experience, this mission is not an endless on forever mission. Persevere, especially when things seem to go on forever. Because disciple making, it's something worth working towards. So we lift our eyes to the end of the age. Finally, remembering the end of the age, it really does lift our eyes to the next age. This age won't last forever. The disciple making won't last forever. And this is what actually took a friend of Courtney and mine, let's call her Fiona, lifting her eyes to the end of the age. It took her to one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian, especially when she is a citizen of that country she went to. Our friend Fiona, she wanted to see people from unreached people groups, didn't want to see them go to hell, but wanted to be side by side with them on that final day, praising Jesus in his glory, in the fullness of joy and life forever with him. She wanted those people to be with her on that final day with Jesus. But she faced some immensely daunting circumstances. If anyone could say that their circumstances were daunting and seemingly impossible, it would be her. And she still faces these circumstances. She's stalked by authorities at every turn. For long periods of time, she can't gather with other Christians in church. If she's found out, she'll end up in jail, and she could then disappear like many before her. She recalled to us in person, her last visit, it was very encouraging. She recalled to us of when she was having a Bible study with some students and they were reading the Bible off pieces of paper shuffled in with other documents. And the police stormed that house. She recalled the courage shown by the students. And Courtney and I, we marveled at Fiona's confident perseverance. Such intense, daunting circumstances for disciple making. And we asked, how do you keep on going? How do you keep on going, Fiona? And she said, I go running and I have Jesus. I know that Jesus is with me, and so I pray and keep on going with him. Brothers and sisters, we confidently persevere in disciple making of all nations by proclaiming the word, because we're never alone, because now is the only season for it. Hear Jesus' final great commission. This is his agenda. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Thanks so much, Ryan. How encouraging are the final words of Jesus to us all? Amazing. We are never alone.